Everybody, if you got your Bibles, open them to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at the 8th chapter, beginning at verse, Monty began with verse 10. If you're visiting with us, I'll let you know we've been in the book of 1 Corinthians since December, and we're taking our time going through the book, and we finished up back in November with verse 9, and then I did a four-week Advent series for Christmas, and then did a New Year's service, and then I skipped last week, and David preached, and so we're back now. We're going to pick up where we left off. This chapter in 2 Corinthians deals with the Christian responsibility in giving. It gives us a biblical outline of how we should give, how finances should be used, and that can be a somewhat of a sensitive topic. And part of the reason is because so many people have come to church and been manipulated and given, or been put on guilt trips or things such as that. That is completely unbiblical, because the biblical model for giving is you don't feel like it's under compulsion or that you have to do it. Giving is a voluntary act. It's an act of worship that you do. And the Bible also instructs us to be wise stewards of the resources that we have. If you notice the title of the message, Guidelines for Stewardship, stewardship means to manage the affairs of another person. So when we manage money, you're managing someone else's affairs. In reality, from a Christian perspective, it'd be God's. And so you're responsible on how you earn money, how you save money, how you invest money, how you spend money, and how you give money. And you're accountable for that. You're accountable to God. And so the Bible gives us a lot of guidelines on how to give, which is contrary to what a lot of people think or understand in the area of giving, because there's a lot of misinstruction there. But the Bible is very clear. And so we're going to look today. We've got verses 8, 10 through 9, 5. You saw what all Monty was reading. I'm not going to cover that whole territory to make up for lost time when we missed the Advent series, knock out a chapter and a half. I'm not going to do that. So we're going to make this part one. Lord willing, we're going to get through verse 15, okay? And we're just going to break our way through here. Title of the message is Guidelines for Stewardship. And so that's what we're going to look at is biblical guidelines for money. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for all your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your the day that you've given us, the beautiful sunshine, clear skies. We're just grateful for everything. And Lord, we just pray that if we gather here, that you would grant us divine understanding and insight to your word. Help us to be able to take that word and utilize it in our life in some way to better serve you. For we ask this and we pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Paul, we're going to pick up here in the 10th verse, but he's coming off the heels of what he said in verse 9, which comes off the heels in the first part of chapter 8. What he's talking about is to the church at Corinth, he's telling them that you need to give to the ministry that I'm doing, like the Macedonians. Look how the Macedonians give. He said they're poor, but they gave above their ability when they gave. And then he uses the example, he uses the illustration in verse 9, and he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He uses Christ as an illustration of giving, of sacrificial giving. And then he launches off into these guidelines. And we're going to take a look at them this morning, okay? He begins here. He says, giving should be done freely, all right? And we've already discussed that. We discussed that in the first part of chapter 8. New Testament giving is grace giving. It's to be done freely. Nowhere in the New Testament will you see New Testament authors telling you how much to give, what proportion to give. You give as you purpose in your own heart. Matter of fact, just back up to 1 Corinthians, which we studied before this, in that 16th chapter, and Paul instructed them in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia," so he's talking about churches in Galatia, "and to the church at Corinth, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come." Makes it very clear. Store up as you prosper, okay? He's going to tell you in other places, you give as you purpose in your own heart. So giving is to be done freely, and it's to be done as you purpose in your own heart, and you should never, ever feel compelled to give by a person. Now, God may compel you to, or you may sense a need. That's a different thing. But you should never be pressured into doing something like that. So verse 10, he's going to talk about giving freely. He begins, he says, "And in this I give my advice." I've got the New King James translation. Some translations say opinion. And so people see that and they say, well, this is not what God wants. This is Paul's opinion. No, Paul's an apostle. And when Paul wrote the New Testament is written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It is the revelation of God to mankind. It is what God wants man to know about himself. And so when Paul speaks, he's speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he is speaking revelation of God. When he says, "This is my advice," or "This is my opinion," what he is referencing is source authority, okay? If he was referencing two primary sources, what did Jesus teach the disciples? He would often reference that. His other source authority would be what was taught through the prophets in the Old Testament. So he's doing nothing different than what I would do right here this morning. I have two basic source authorities. This is what the Old Testament says. This is what the New Testament says. Okay? That's my basis for teaching. That's my only basis for authority. Paul's basis for authority was, what does the Old Testament say? What did Christ teach? Or what am I, an apostle, i.e. apostle sent from God, one that is sent forth, teaching you? So when he says that, what he's simply saying is, this has not been previously spoken of. This is new material that I'm giving you that comes from God. And he says, "And in this I give my advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it." So what is he talking about here? Well, he says several things. Number one, he says it is to your advantage. Why would it be to their advantage? Well, one of the principles of New Testament giving is spoken of over in chapter 9, verse 6, and that principle is this: "But this I say, he who sows sparingly," I'm in verse 6 of chapter 9, "he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And so the principle there in New Testament giving is that as you sow, you reap. Okay? That's just the principle of giving. So Paul says, it is to your advantage. In other words, as a believer, you need to carry through what you're doing. You need to do this freely. It's to your advantage. Not only to be doing what you began and were desiring. You see that? Not that you were told to do, but what you desired to do. That's one of the biblical bases for New Testament giving. A person is to give as they purpose in their own heart, as they are directed in their own heart. One person may give more than another, but they are to give as they are prospered, because they are the steward over their resources, just like you're the steward over your resources. I don't manage your resources, you don't manage mine. But each one of us manages them in light of what God wants us to do, and God makes that very clear in the Scripture. So giving, one of the guidelines of stewardship is, giving is to be done freely. All right? Second of all, giving commitment should be fulfilled. Okay? I mean, in essence, it's this. One of the principles is this. If you purpose to do something, you desire to do something, you commit to do something, you need to follow through doing it. And that should be true in any area of your life, okay? But Paul speaks to him about that. He says, but now, verse 11, you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. What are you saying there? They committed to give to this ministry that Paul is working with. Now, what he's doing is he's getting resources for the churches in Jerusalem that are going through intense persecution. The Corinthians have an abundance of resources, and so they're giving. And what he's telling them is, it was your idea to do this. You desired to do this. Now, fulfill your commitment. In other words, when you commit to do something, simply keep your word. Follow through with it, okay? So when you purpose to do something, you continue through. Why would these people not continue through with what they were doing? Well, a lot of it was they were getting bad reports about Paul. Paul was being misrepresented by many people, and as he is being misrepresented, it causes many of those believers to question what they were doing perhaps. You know, I don't know, the text doesn't tell us exactly why they were doing it, but that's a good possibility. Because Paul, from the 1st to 2nd Corinthians all the way through, has been trying to undo what other people have been saying about him. All right? I don't know if you've ever struggled with that in your life, that people have talked about you and not properly presented you, but that's exactly the issue Paul has here. His ministry and his own character is being distorted from what it should be. And so all Paul's telling these believers is, you give freely, you fulfill commitments that you make, and your giving should be proportional. Look at this. He says in verse 12, for if there is first, pull this down here, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. Now he goes through here, and the first thing he's going to deal with is proportional giving. Look at it in verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. In other words, you only give out of what you have. A very misstated fact about giving by some people is you go in debt to give. All right? And there are some people, I've seen people try to parlay money out of people by that. Just step out on faith with what the Lord would have you to do. All right? Clearly, the Bible makes it clear that you are to purpose in your own heart what you're going to give. It says, as you have prospered, not as you may prosper or you hope to prosper, but as you have prospered. So in essence, what you do is you give out of that. The Bible does not teach you to go in debt to give. That is, matter of fact, unbiblical. To do that. Well, Brother C.F., it said earlier that the Macedonians gave above their ability. What is that? Well, when the Macedonians gave above their ability, what that simply means is they are wise stewards of their resources. They have their money set out for specific things that they have to do, and then they give, and he says they gave above their ability. You know what that means? They dipped into stuff that they had planned on doing, and they ended up having to sacrifice other areas. For example, I may have my money budgeted out to go and buy let's take a minor expense, maybe a pistol or shotgun, okay? And I budgeted my money to go out and to buy one. But you know what? I see someone that has a need, and I say, man, I've saved up 2 months hoping to get that. But you know, I'm going to sacrifice that so that this person over here can have something. That's given above my ability. Why? Because that money had already been committed for something else. Does not mean that you give money you don't have, okay? Does not mean that. You give in proportion to what you have. So giving is to be proportional. One of the main themes of giving that you'll see all in the New Testament is attitude is more important than amount. Attitude is more important than amount. Because we're going to see when we get to chapter 9, he says you're to give with a cheerful heart and you should give without compulsion. So you should feel good about it. It's something you're joyful to do. You give those resources. And then the last part of that, which is covered in verses 13 through 15, giving is to balance a need. Giving is to balance a need. Let me read it again in 13 through 14. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Let's deal with that first. What does that mean? Well, if he's raising money for the church at Jerusalem and they're short funds, what he's saying to them is, I'm not trying to get you to give resources to ease their pain and put you in trouble. That's not what I'm after. That's what he's saying right there. I don't want to take from you and give to them and put you in a bind. He said, I just want you to fulfill what you committed. And then he says, but by inequality, that now at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. What he's saying is, these Corinthians at this time had a lot of resources. And Paul's saying, take some of these abundant resources that you have, move them over here and help this ministry that's in need right now. There may come a day when you have need and they have an abundance, and guess what? They can come back and they can help you. That's what he's saying in that right there. Now, many people think about this. We'll take a passage like this and passages over in the book of Acts, and they try to teach socialism from it, all right? That everyone should be equal. We all need to have equality. And I want to touch on that because someone in here of a liberal persuasion may take some statement like that and go outside and try to distort it. I want to make it very clear. The difference between what Paul's teaching here and what's taught in the book of Acts and what we call socialism is, in socialism, the government is taking from you and giving to who they desire. In this, you are giving as you have purposed in your own heart. There's a big difference between the two, folks. Would you agree or not? Huge difference. Would you rather give resources to meet a need or be forced to give that money to meet a quote-unquote need? Well, unless you're brain dead, you want to give out of your own purpose. Why? You earn those resources. It is your money. It is your choice to do with it what you want to based upon how you purpose in your heart in relationship to God. There's a big difference between those two. A huge difference between those two. In addition to that, the Bible nowhere instructs us to give money to people that are unwilling to work. All right? That's just a biblical truth. People think, well, that's awfully hard. That's cruel. No, as a matter of fact, it's sinful to do that. The Bible says, if a man will not work, he should not eat. Hunger, you'd be shocked at what hunger will do to a person as far as their ability to go to work. I mean, I'm serious. It'll put folks to work, all right? But now you let someone just, well, you know, I just don't feel like working, or I can't find a job, I can't do nothing. Look, I'll help you, brother. We got a little project here I want you to do. I had a guy one time hit me up right here at the church, and he said, hey, man, could you help me out with something? I said, sure, what is it? He said, I don't have any money. I need some food, stuff like this. I said, okay. I said, let me make a phone call real quick. And he said, what's that? And I called James Ferris. And I called him up. And I said, Mr. Ferris, I said, you got any fence line on your ranch that needs to be cleared? Or maybe a cattle guard that needs to be dug out? Oh, man, I got that stuff all the time. I told him, I said, well, I got a guy up here who doesn't have a job. He's not able to give you money to eat and stuff. And I said, would you put him on as a hired hand? He said, you bet. And Mr. Ferris was smart. He goes, but I don't think he's going to come. He said, I think he's probably lying to you, preacher. And I said, all right, we'll find out. Mr. Ferris is smart. That guy all of a sudden wasn't hungry no more, man. He said, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. I ain't going to do that kind of stuff. I don't do that kind of work. I said, all right, brother, take care. Nothing wrong with him. He's a perfectly healthy man. Now, situation's different. You take a widow, an orphan, something like that. It's a whole different ballgame because the church has an obligation to help those people. But when it comes to able-bodied people that are just too lazy to go to work, people say, well, you ought to have compassion on them. I do have compassion on them, and I'm going to help them get a job. That's what I'm going to do. I help them with some immediate needs and stuff like that. But, brother, you're going to go to work. If you're an able-bodied person, we're not going to fund laziness, period. That's all there is to it. Why? God designed the means by which you get resources, and that is to work. Ordained it from the very beginning of creation. Adam and Eve were placed in a garden, and Adam tilled the ground. You sit around as idleness, you will become depressed. You will have all kinds of problems come up because man is not built to be like that. Got to be doing something. So when Paul talks about this, what he's simply saying is this. If you have an abundance of resources, use that to give to these people over here that are lacking. You know what that tells you? A lot of times you will have money comes to you or you'll have resources. You say, boy, I got a lot of extra money here at this time. Be alert to what's going on. It may be an opportunity for you to help somebody out that you've never been able to help before. A great opportunity comes up. That's what he's teaching in that right there. So what he is saying is balance according to the need. Balance according to the need. Then he's going to conclude with an illustration. He says, as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. What he's quoting there, folks, he's quoting a passage out of Exodus 16. And instead of taking the time, go back and look at the passage stuff, I'll just tell you what it is. When manna, when God was giving the children of Israel manna from heaven, some people got an abundance, some people had a lack, and what he said was, even it out amongst the people. Help each other out to where this guy's not struggling, and you've got more than you can eat, and it's just going to spoil and waste. Spread it out. So he's referencing in that passage an Old Testament passage to teach them you need to help other people when you have an abundance. Very simple principles that are set forth in this passage of Scripture. Very simple. Giving is to be done freely. Giving commitments should be fulfilled. You should give proportionately. You should give to balance the need across the board. That's what Paul says. Why? Because your resources are your responsibility to manage. You are a steward over that. You are accountable for that, of what you do with the things that you have. And he says this in Scripture also, that he who is faithful in little will be made master over much. And so if you're faithful in little things, and God says the riches of this world are a little thing, why would God say that money and the riches of this world are a little thing? Because God's comparing them in comparison to eternity. You can take temporal, material things here on earth, use them to bless the lives of other people, and those blessings will endure for all eternity. In other words, he's talking about investing into that, which is good. Very simple principles on giving that we need to apply to our life. Hopefully, we are doing that. Hopefully, we're purposing to to utilize resources God has given us in a way that's going to enhance the kingdom of God, because that's what God's desire. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and thank you for this day.